my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship his holy name.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing.
Good morning. Some of you have been asking the question, so we're going to get the information into your hands just as soon as we possibly can. And so, Mike, if you will give me that photo. The picture you see on the wall is a man named Mark Bain and his wife. And they have been the pastors at Atlanta Grace Point Church for the last several years and have changed the church there, grown the church from about 400 to about 800. They've had three successful pastorates. He's worked in many capacities, served on many district councils, and he is coming to us after much prayer and deliberation, and he is now our new district superintendent. And so I'm sure along the way, over the next year or so, you'll have the opportunity to get acquainted with him. But he has a great track record, and his district superintendent speaks very highly of his work as a pastor and the work that he's done in collaborating with other district leadership. So I knew that was one of the main questions coming out of this district assembly, and who indeed would our new district superintendent be. And so there they are, Mr. and Mrs. Mark Bain, coming to us from Atlanta Grace Point in Atlanta, Georgia.
All right. Well, good morning. How is everyone doing this morning? We seem a little tired this morning. We're going to have to do some exercises later, get everybody woken up. Well, hopefully you guys noticed a little bit of change this morning on the platform this morning. As all of you should know, tonight starts our vacation Bible school, and it is Paul's journey to Athens. So hopefully you guys have been in prayer for that tonight. I know we're pretty excited. I personally want to say thank you for those of you that helped do the decorations. I know my wife is extremely appreciative for all the help that we received yesterday and also in the weeks prior to yesterday. And then I believe we got a little bit more decorating to do out in the foyer this afternoon and maybe a couple classrooms. She'll announce about that here in a little bit. But if you would, turn with me to your bulletins, and I will go over some announcements that are in the bulletin. Yes. First off, directly following the service this morning, there is a finance committee meeting. So if you're a part of the finance committee, please stay for a brief meeting after church. Also, if you have a church board report that you turn in monthly, that is due into the office today. And then, as I said earlier, Vacation Bible School is this week. It starts tonight at 6 p.m. It is for children ages 4 years old through the sixth grade. So if you know anyone, whether it's your own child, grandchild, neighbor, relative, friend, invite them for Vacation Bible School for this week. Tonight at 6 p.m., if you are not involved with Vacation Bible School, the pastor is going to be leading a prayer service that is kind of geared toward praying for Vacation Bible School, for the workers, for the kids, and for all of the stuff that's going on with Vacation Bible School. So be here for that. That will be taking place in Troy Brooks's classroom directly across from the nursery. And then Vacation Bible School will be Monday through Thursday this week, 6 to 8:30. If you are a worker, try to be here a little bit before. Like I said, Amber will probably announce here in a little bit what times you guys need to be here. With Vacation Bible School going on this week, there will not be any Wednesday night regular service. We will start that back up again next week. Tuesday night, there is a men's softball game at 8:45. So Vacation Bible School gets over at 8:30. It's about a 15-minute drive to Ozark Park. So just make your way. The team is doing pretty good. We've got a 2-2 record, two wins, couple losses. So we're about 500, so we're doing pretty good. So 8:45 Tuesday night, directly following Vacation Bible School, come out and cheer on the team. That is all the announcements that I have. Amber is going to come and let you guys know a little bit more about Vacation Bible School.
What do you think? Teens, that's all for you guys. This would not happen, as you see it, had they not spent weeks painting, drawing it out, cutting it. This is awesome. And it could not look any better, I don't think. They did fabulous. If you can't tell, give them a hand. They did awesome. I will take credit for the sign being a little crooked because this is my fault. But if you didn't notice it, then I should have just kept my mouth shut. So I won't blame that on them. That's not their fault. That's mine. I'm just all excited. I hope you can tell it is alive. It does move. If you can't tell, after service maybe you can come up, but it's the ocean is alive and it does move. So I'm just all excited. I'm just like, today's Bible school. I am just so giddy. I've had so many people ask me since we've gone through Memorial Weekend last week and so many people were gone. Here's kind of my thoughts for tonight. I'm going to take my kids home, get some lunch, and come back, and I will be here almost all day. So you're welcome to be here as much as you want. I'm hoping, though, that you all will be here at least by 4:30. Just for tonight. After that, 5:30 will be fine, or just whenever you can get here from after work. But if you will come at 4:30 and just go to your prospective areas, I will come around and talk with each individual group. And so that will save everybody from running to me. I will come to you. That way, if you need to start decorating rooms, if you need to go get costumes, if you need to start getting food ready, whatever, you can start doing those things, and I will come around and make sure that you have everything you need, answer any questions, and that you are good to go. We will meet in here at 5:30 for prayer as a VBS group, and then hopefully we will be ready to greet kids by 5:40, 5:45. And then we are hitting the ground running tonight, folks. It's a regular VBS night. They're running everything. They're doing everything, going through a regular VBS night tonight. And if you're not, I hope you come out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Just to be around the excitement of the kids will give you such an energy. It is so much fun. I'm around kids on a daily basis. I work in the school system. And if you don't get that pleasure, then I encourage you to come out and be around them. And, of course, I hope you come out and be in the prayer room for a while. We all know how important that is. Some of these kids, this may be the only time they ever get to hear the gospel. So that is absolutely huge. So please come out and do that. Oh, and I hope if you didn't get to see my newsletter article, I started out with a huge thank you. You know, the kids have obviously done great up here, but to everybody, to the time you have put in or you're going to put in, to the prayer that you've given us, to the donations that you've given, whatever it is, this is a church, a whole church involvement, and I cannot thank you enough. There would be no way I would ever be able to do this by myself. It would not happen. And so I send a huge thank you if you didn't see it, and I'm telling you now, thank you so much for all your help, and I hope you come out.
All right. Well, all of you tired people, stand up, stretch your arms, stretch your legs, and find someone that you have not had a chance to greet yet this morning.
To make a brief announcement, choir members, as Amber already told you, we do not have normal services this evening because of EBS, but we do recommence choir practice 1 week from this Wednesday night, preparing for our June 30th presentation for Independence Day. Thank you.
Good morning. Before I share my mission moment, I want to talk a little bit about our picture here on our Mission Moment screen. I've had several conversations in the last couple of weeks, and I could not remember what it was. And I said, okay, I'm going to look at that really good today and inform those that have been talking to me about what that is. And that is a picture of a foot washing. That you see, if you can see the hands on the right-hand side and the foot is on the left. It's just the kind of the wrist, just a little bit above this arm, and they're washing a foot. And that's usually in semblance of service. And so for those of you that have been talking to me about that, and if anybody's got a better explanation or wants to help me on that, you can sure see me afterwards. I've got a couple of things. I hope you're not tired of hearing about this. It's certainly we need to continue to remember to pray for all of the communities and areas that have been hit with tornadoes and so forth. And I had a couple of updates this week from Nazarene Compassionate Ministries and how they had gone to Oklahoma and done a lot. We heard a lot about it at District Assembly this week. And we have a group from our Joplin district that's going Monday morning. 20 people, I believe, Pastor Don told me, have signed up to go. And they're going for 3 days just to go in and help do what they can as quickly as they can. What you might not know is that the Trinity Nazarene Church there in Moore, Oklahoma, has kind of been the distribution site, sending workers out, meeting place, whatever they want to call it. But then they were flooded on Friday. So they had to have people in there cleaning their own church and trying to get the water out just so that they could continue being a distribution place the rest of the week. And so keep them in mind. And they've had, there was a story of a group from Olathe College Church who always do an annual men's trip, and it fell about the time of this tornado and everything, and they canceled that and went to Moore, Oklahoma instead. And at District Assembly, we sent care packages, and we've got, of course, got this group going, and there's lots of other people planning throughout the summer to go, and we just know it's going to be a long, ongoing process. The tornadoes that happened on Friday night actually hit more of our Nazarene churches. We did lose a Nazarene church member in that tornado through death, and the denomination is working with them and that particular family. They don't know how many of our Nazarene families have been affected by this. But, you know, we love and care about everybody, not just our Nazarene denominational family. So we just want to continue to remember them in prayer. One of the things I want to especially mention this morning is this weekend is World Weekend of Prayer for Children at Risk. And with all of the assorted civil wars and different things that have been going on for quite some time, and we're very well of that with the news and everything, they want us to remember children in these areas through our Nazarene Compassionate Ministries program, through our adoption of children. Sometimes the children that we are sponsoring are in the middle of all of these situations. We're providing food, we're providing education, shelter. We have Nazarenes there in these various areas trying to help provide, even if it's just for a few hours a day, an escape for these children. A lot of orphanages, children getting caught up in the child trafficking. Just lots of horrible things that can happen to children that are so innocent. And so remember this weekend, the rest of this week, if God brings this to your mind, remember the children out there, especially in foreign countries, although we know some of this goes on in America today too. We don't even know, we can't, you know, lack of water, just all kinds of things that affect their lives and make their lives so much more difficult. So if you'll remember children at risk this week, that would be great.
Thank you, Jennifer. I think nearly everyone has heard us talk before about Nazarene Compassionate Ministries and the ministry that we take care of as far as going and doing things like we're going to be doing in the morning. I'm going to leave here about 5:30. So we'll be traveling tomorrow to Oklahoma City. And probably,
is this on?
Can everybody hear me?
Oh, okay. I wasn't holding it close enough to my mouth.
We talk about people doing that, and then I don't do it. But we ask a very sincere interest in your prayers. I think, if I remember correctly, there have been 36 lives lost there in Oklahoma, and some of them are coming pretty close to some of our Nazarene families, as Jennifer shared with you. I don't know exactly how to say this, but I know that a lot of you probably will not be able to go. We'd love to have everybody go that can. But if you can't, and you have some old moldy money in your billfold, we'd like for you to slip it in an envelope, put your name on that envelope on the outside of it so our church can give you credit. And I'll be happy to take that down with me tomorrow. Now, I'd say write a check, but there won't be any banks open in the morning when I leave. And so did you hear what Pastor said? If you want to help, you can write a check to the church and mark it Oklahoma, and we'll get it taken care of and sent in. It's costing us $30 per person for incidental things down there, like food and shelter and that kind of thing while we're there. And people gave me money. One person said, I can't go, but I'll pay the $30 for somebody else. So they did that this week. And we would really appreciate any help you can give. I'm going to be sleeping on a gym floor, I understand. I said I could sleep okay, but I would have problem getting up. So I'd have to crawl to the wall and pull myself up to get in the from the horizontal to the vertical position. So just remember us in prayer. And if you do choose to help, we'd be really grateful for that, because of the expense of travel and that kind of thing. So appreciate any help that you can give to us, but we really, really, really need your prayers. This is planned on spur of the moment, and we're going to go. So thank you so much for your support. If our ushers would come at this time, we'll take our tithes and offerings. Maybe I should say receive would be a better, because taking implies that we're going to force you to give. Dan, would you come and ask God's blessing?
Lord God, we come in to you in thankfulness for our salvation, Lord. We ask that you bless each one, and that as we give to you, that you use it in your ministry, that others might come to a saving knowledge of you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray.
will stop and give you praise for bringing thy faithfulness. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise for bringing thy faithfulness. You're our Creator, our life sustainer, deliverer, our comfort and joy. Throughout the ages, you've been our shelter,
our peace
in the midst of the storm. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. With signs and wonders, you've shown your power. With precious blood, you showed us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with glory. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. When we walk through life's darkest valleys, we will look back at all you have done, and we will shout, our God is good, and he is a faithful one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to the one on whom all blessings flow. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to the one whose glory has been shown. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. I still remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You said you loved me and would never leave me, and I will be in the same. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my I have needed, I have provided.
For prayer this morning, I want to invite our VBS workers to come and just, matter of fact, rather than coming to the altars, I just want you to step out into the aisle where you're at. Those of you who are going to be working VBS, you're going to be teachers, you're going to be kitchen help, you're going to be craft workers, just step into the aisles if you're going to be working VBS, okay? And then, Pastor Don, I'd like for you to step out into the aisle there. You're going to be going as our district coordinator to Moore, Oklahoma, and taking some folks with you. And I know this is going to take just a little bit of time, and so I'm going to try to make this all happen together. But I'd like for the rest of you now, if you would, and you don't have to, but if the rest of you would just stand, and you might just kind of find some of these people that you know, and maybe just go lay a hand on their shoulder or whatever, and just kind of gather around them and in the prayer this morning. And if you're a visitor with this morning, you feel free to be where you are. If you know somebody, you can go, but you feel free to be where you are. We want you to be comfortable. We are so glad that all of you, we have several visitors this morning, glad that you are with us, and we appreciate that so very, very much. And I want you to make yourself at home this morning. And in just a moment, we're going to pray and ask God's blessing on this VBS. Going to pray for those who'll be traveling to Moore, Oklahoma, indeed, to help in that great area of need, and so we're going to ask God's blessing on them. We need to be remembering also throughout this month there are other special services. We will have Father's Day honoring on Father's Day, and then the last Sunday of the month, and we'll be getting more information to you about this. You'll see it in your bulletin. But John Moria, who has been with us a couple of times over the last 20-some years, but John Moria is the potter. And on Sunday evening, June 30th, we will have a community event here. It's our small gatherings, a group community event. So we're trying to get everyone who's a part of our small groups. And if you haven't heard, we've gotten off to a great start. Our Sunday night attendance on the two nights that we've had Sunday small groups has been 71 and 72. And so we've had a great response there, and we appreciate that. But we want to try to bring everybody in on Sunday night here on June the 30th. All of our small groups, people, our new people, our people that have connected to us that haven't been in our regular services yet, and invite them to come to be a part of this special presentation of the Potter. And so be telling them about that and inviting them to come and be a part of that special time. We also want to be remembering in prayer this morning Ray and Bonnie Burke, who had a funeral of a family member. And we've just a change on Adrian Carlson's memorial service. Originally, they thought they were going to do it on Father's Day afternoon. And the family thought about that for a while and decided they didn't necessarily want to have that memory tied together that way. And indeed, they are going to have the memorial service on Saturday afternoon at 1:30 here at the church. Saturday afternoon, the 15th. That would be the day before Father's Day, the 15th at 1:30, and we'll get that change in the bulletin for you and have that information for you. But remember the Carlson family and the loss of Brother Adrian, a great part of our church family. And then also Joanna Wood, we want to update you just a little bit. They did find in the scan that the tumor has grown. And so that was not necessarily the news they were looking for. They're going to try to change to a different chemo. And indeed, we want to be remembering her as well as these others who are battling these ongoing things. There are many things that are mentioned in our bulletin. Don't fail to take a moment when you go to your prayer closet just to look at that prayer list. And God knows those names, but lift them up and pray for these folks that indeed are in need of our prayer support this morning. So we're going to sing together, and then we're going to pray together.
Jesus, your name is healing. Jesus, your name is God. Jesus, your name will free every captive. Jesus, your name.
These altars are open and available to you. Should you have need of a place just to kneel and pray and put those things before God, feel free to come and make use of the altars this morning. Let's lift our voices together. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity of being here in your house this day, on the Lord's day. We pray, Father, that indeed that for many it will be a day of rest, and for Lord, the times that we will be together. We know that there will be some physical exertion and some mental exertion in putting on a Bible school. But we also know at the end of the day today, when we go to bed tonight, that we will be so excited about the children whose lives we've been able to touch. And so, Father, we pray a special blessing today as we thank you for your greatness. Thank you for these great songs today. Great is your faithfulness. We want to thank you for your works and for your blessings in our lives, Father. We acknowledge that you are Almighty Jehovah God. You are sovereign creator of the universe. And Lord, we yield to you this day. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for your love and mercy. But Father, we ask for your blessing. We know that you are all powerful. And so, Father, we ask for your touch upon these Vacation Bible School workers. Fill them with supernatural energy this week as they go about their regular jobs and then come in the evenings to teach Bible school and to help out. Lord, we pray that you just refresh and renew them through the Holy Spirit that abides within them. Father, we pray that you would give them words to speak and ways to relate to children that would give us the opportunity to have an impact on young lives. Lord, we pray for our director, Amber. We pray, Father, that you would touch her and bless her as she gives leadership and guidance to use the things that she has learned in being educated to teach publicly, that they will also be a benefit to her in organizing and leading this Bible school this week. Lord, we thank you for her willingness to serve. We thank you for every person who's volunteered, for every person who's donated, for all that have put forth any effort in making this Bible school a success. We are excited and anticipating beginning those services tonight. Lord, we pray also for Pastor Don, our district work and witness coordinator. We thank you, Father, for his leadership. We thank you that he is part of our team here at the church locally. Lord, we pray your blessing upon he and the many that will go to Oklahoma this week to be of assistance and aid there in working the side of the tornadoes and helping. And now, Lord, you've heard the reports that some who had already endured tornadoes have now had to endure flooding as well. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to overcome these natural disasters, that it would draw men and women and boys and girls together, and that your name would constantly be lifted up as the reason why people do what they do. And Lord, you would be glorified and honored and praised. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless in that effort. And then, Lord, you know the list within our bulletin of prayer requests. We pray, Father, that you'd work in every situation. Some of them are physical needs that we've been praying for a long time. Some have had good days, and some are facing challenging days now. And we pray, Father, that indeed your grace would be sufficient for every moment and for every situation. Lord, there are some out there that are dealing with employment situations. And Lord, we know that not only are you the great physician, but you're also the great provider. And so, Father, we pray that you would open doors of opportunity for them. Watch over them. And Lord, know that this is vacation time. A lot of our families are traveling today. And Lord, we know that not only are you the great physician, and not only are you the great provider, but you're also the great protector. And so, Lord, watch over them as they travel. Bless them as they are rested and refreshed, and bring them back, that we might together accomplish kingdom purposes here through Nixa Church of the Nazarene in our community, and that we might impact our community for Jesus Christ. Father, we put before you our physical needs. We just pray that you would touch and help and heal. And Lord, indeed, may this be a great week. May this be a great day in God's house, but may this be a great week as we do Bible school together. May your name be lifted up, and may you draw boys and girls as well as men and women to yourself. And we'll give you honor and glory because you are worthy. And all of God's people said, amen.
This morning in Sunday school class, Pastor Don filled in while Pat and Carolyn are on vacation, and we had special prayer for those who are lost. If you're one of them this morning, this song is for you. The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for at its strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. Never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you when God is on your side. Just take him at his promise. Secret, what
Good grief. You go away to district assembly for a week and they tear the place apart. We got visitors. I always worry when we have visitors, you know, what the impression's going to be. And here we got all this stuff up here. Why in the world? I don't have near as much room. The pulpit's gone. I don't have a place to put my manual. Why in the world do we do these things? I don't know. Well, we do them because children matter to God. How many of you know what this week is? Miss Mary, what is this week?
VBS.
That is true, it is VBS, but even in a bigger, larger scale, do you know what this week is? The first week of June, yes, Tyler? You don't know. Your arm just had a spasm. I'll let you answer if you want to answer. What is it? Okay. For many, many years in the Church of the Nazarene, the first week of June has been known as Children's Week, and it just so happens that our schedule for VBS this year, and I don't even know that they thought about that when they picked this week. I'm not sure if that played into it, but it is indeed Children's Week in the Church of the Nazarene. And what we do through the course of this week, we do because children matter to God, and therefore children ought to matter to us. Indeed, how many of you actually have any kind of investment at all? Maybe you're purchasing a home and you're paying mortgage and you're buying a home. Maybe you have a little extra retirement income or something, or you're in the process of working and building retirement. But somewhere along the way, you have some income in some way that is invested, and you're hoping that it will somehow add up to more than what it was when you initiated that process in the long term. How many of you are hoping to have some kind of dividend on your investment? Some of you aren't saying a thing. You don't want anybody to know if you got any extra money at all. And indeed, if it's committed to retirement, it's not extra. You got to have it later, right? So don't tell anybody. But how many of you realize as investors that we want people, whether it's our own choice or whether we entrust others that invest our money for us, we want them to put our money where we indeed will receive the greatest return. Right? How many of you like the interest rate at 0.25% on your regular savings account? Well, let me read something to you, and we started talking about this a little bit a few years ago, and you as a church invested in the atmosphere of our children's wings and areas with some paintings and some things there. But let me just read some information that was presented to us this week and remind some of you who may not have been there and been able to hear. A recent Barna study indicates that nearly half of all Americans who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior do so before reaching the age of 13. And that 2 out of 3 born-again Christians made that commitment to Christ before their 18th birthday. 1 out of 8 born-again people made their profession of faith while 18 to 21 years old. Less than 1 out of every 4 born-again Christians embraced Christ after their 21st birthday. Barna noted that these figures are consistent with similar studies it has conducted during the past 20 years. Listen to this. Percentages of people in America during different eras that believed the basic Bible truths and were born again. These are people who heard in their generation and accepted Christ on biblical truth. 65% of the World War II generation, 35% of the baby boomer generation, 16% of Generation X. You see a trend here? If nothing changes in America when this generation of children becomes adults, current generation, only 4% will be Bible-believing, born-again Christians. Now, from the generation of World War II to our current living children, the trend has gone from 65% to 4% that are Bible-believing Christians. The U.S. Census estimates that in 2009, children from 6 to 13 were about 20 million strong, and by 2020, they're projected to be 23 million strong. Of the 5 billion people on the earth today, 50% are under age 14. In the United States, a quarter of the population is under 18. 40 million children in the United States have never been to church. 2 out of 3 children in the United States do not know Jesus. Paradox of our culture is that people are most likely to get saved in childhood, but less and less children are being discipled in a way that makes them spiritually and biblically competent as adults. Another paradox is that churches are providing more child-specific ministries than ever before, yet most of us would agree that our congregations are less discipled than ever. The need for intergenerational discipleship has never been greater. That's why we do what we do for children. Because children matter to God. I remind you of a passage of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. It's not a guarantee that everyone will be saved, but it is a promise that everyone who has grown up in the training and the admonition of the Lord at any point in their life will know how to get to God. Those are odds that I like. To know that there are people out there who know how to get there, even if they haven't gone there, is much better than trying to track down all of those who don't know and inform them. But we should be doing that as well. The thing that I want us to understand this morning is the reason that we get excited. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of excited that our VBS director is excited. That kind of bleeds down into the working core, you know, of the rest of us. And so thank you, Amber, for your enthusiasm and for your investment. Thank you to all of you who have donated and helped in any other way, and you've already been thanked, but thanks again from the pastor as well. God has ordained 2 institutions to train children. If you get into your Bible, which we plan to do, you'll find that there are 2 institutions that have been set by God to train children. Institution number 1, what do you think it is? Home. Which means that children are supposed to be learning from parents. People who have children are supposed to train children. And the scripture has several thoughts about this, and I take you to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing in Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. That's a sentence, it's a statement, it's got a period at the end of it. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Okay, now let me ask you. If you're not lying down, are you up? And if you're not up, are you down? So what's he saying? He's saying, teach your children all the time. Be conscious of the fact. The truth of the matter is, we need to be conscious of the fact that whether we think we're trying to teach our children or not, they're watching everything we do. So indeed, by every move we make, we're teaching them. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. In the 23rd chapter of that same book of Proverbs, we read in verses 13 and 14, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. chapter 29, verse 15. The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. And then in verse 17, discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will delight to your soul. Now, I know that there's a great debate out there in the psychological community about corporal punishment and those kinds of things. And I'm not so sure that God is so much vested in saying every one of you must take a stick and beat your kid every once in a while. But I believe that what he is saying without exception is that every parent is responsible to discipline and train their children in a manner that they can be a viable part of society. And there are a lot of methodologies. Some of them don't work. If you don't believe me, try to reason with a two-year-old. Sit down, have an educated adult conversation. Kids do not understand at 2 years old a lot of language. They do understand pain. And I said, beat your kids for fun, but I'm saying sometimes there's certain natural cause and effect. For instance, if you teach your child not to touch the stove and they do it anyway, they'll pay more attention to you after they've touched it, particularly if it was on. Just kind of has that effect, natural cause and effect. And so things that were painful are things that we oftentimes try to stay away from. The truth of the matter is, though, sometimes the way we go about things, we can be the biggest pain our children ever have. And I mean that in all seriousness. Listen to this, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And I'll tell you, I had an uncle that was this way. I know another individual that I dealt with in my history as a person in the church. I can think of two father images in particular that were great fathers. They loved their children. But sometimes they were big kids themselves. And a lot of times they would play with their kids and they would get their kids really wound up and then they'd be done. They knew when they were ready to stop. Their kids didn't always get the message at first. The memo didn't go out soon enough. And so then dad would be mad and the kids would just be all worked up. And they're trying to play. That's exasperation. Not sending clear signals. Not communicating properly. And so we need to work on our communication skills as parents so that indeed we take responsibility to communicating the proper messages to our children about proper things. And the great thing is, people say, well, what do I tell them? The sad thing is not everybody reads the Bible, but if everybody read the Bible, you would have the information you need to train your children. Thank you. God has written a complete manual. He's given us direction about how to get along with each other. He's given us information about right and wrong. He's given information about do this and don't do that. And indeed, if we familiarize ourselves with that manual, you know, it's amazing if you read the instruction manual, what you can operate. It's amazing how you can really foul up something if you don't read the manual. I have a tendency every once in a while to say, I don't have time to read, so I'll just test this button. Looks like a good button to push to me. Doesn't always get the result I want. It's amazing how if I go back and look up that button on the number that's assigned in the owner's manual, it says, this is the function of this button. It's like, wow, no wonder that didn't work that way. But how many of us go through life without ever reading the manual? God, the creator of all things and all people, wrote the manual and told us how to go about it. And yet sometimes we don't want to pay any attention to the authorities. We just kind of have that tendency all along life and about everything. But God gave the home to be a place so that the younger generation could be trained to be the people that he created and gave them the potential to be. But it's not historically always gone well. But here's what you need to know. There are consequences when we don't accept our responsibility. I remind you of a passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel where we have that story of that we use so often as the calling of Samuel to the work of God. But there's a sub-story behind that story. because I want you to listen to what it was that God said to Samuel when he was getting him to respond to his voice. He actually was responding and giving Samuel a message to give to Eli, the priest, because Eli didn't pay attention the first time. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, it says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli,'" Eli's the priest, he's the man of God, he's the guy that's telling everybody else how to get to God, "I will carry this out against Eli from beginning to end, for I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he," Eli, "failed to restrain them." If you're not familiar with the story, Eli was the priest. He was carrying out all the priestly duties of around the temple. He had two sons, Phinehas and Hophni, and they had ideas of their own about how to use the food that was brought in for idol, you know, to worship, and it was to be sacrificed to God. They decided that whenever they wanted to, they would take some extra and have their own barbecue. Food that was sacred to God. They also did some other things that they shouldn't do around the house of God and with some of the things of God, some of the people of God. And they basically were just pretty self-centered, carnal little boys. And they grew up to be carnal teenagers and then carnal young men. And God finally said, "Eli, I've told you. I told you. You didn't do anything. You did not discipline your sons. There was a prophecy that came, and I said, your sons will die if you don't do this." And finally, through Samuel, he said, "It's enough. It's going to happen." And both of Eli's sons died on the same day. Folks, there are consequences not only to what we do, but there are consequences to what we don't do that we should. And we have a God-given responsibility to train children up in the way that they should go so that when they're old, they'll not turn from it. Stop and think about this. What are you intentionally training your kids for? I'm a typical father. I have two sons that I wanted to succeed at what they wanted to do. And we had to make choices and decisions about some of the things that they got to do and that they didn't get to do. And one of the choices that we made that probably cost my second son some of his basketball career was when all four of our kids were growing up and we were in children's camp and teen camp and all those kinds of things, and he got an invitation to play AAU ball and travel and play 60 or 70 games a year all over the summer all over the United States, we didn't let him go. And it probably cost him visibility to the college recruiters. But I was far more concerned about my son being in the pew in this church, even when he didn't want to be here, than I was about his success on the basketball court. And we made that choice. I can't tell you that every choice you make is always going to get the result you want. I can't tell you that there won't be arguments. I can't tell you that there won't be rebellion. I can't tell you that there won't be people sneaking out at night. I can't tell you that there won't be people who do stuff and don't tell you. I can't tell you that they won't take things you give them and use them differently than you intended for them to. I can't tell you all that stuff. But what I can tell you is God isn't wrong. And the odds of success are far greater if you do it God's way than if you make up your own set of rules. And there's a lot of us at various times in our lives who say, "God, we don't like the way you plan, so here's our plan, we're going to do it this way." And there are consequences that come along with that kind of thing. We are intentionally taking time to... Cody played football, Mighty Mite football. He played football for almost ever. And when he was little, he played Mighty Mite football, and I coached Mighty Mite football. I was the head coach of the team. We had Wednesday night practice. And practice was supposed to end at 7:15. Wednesday night was just one of the nights. There were many nights. And we stayed at practice till 7:15 every night except Wednesday night. You know why? Because I'm a pastor. And we had church at 7 o'clock at that point in time. And my son knew at 6:45 football practice was over for him. And even into their high school years, we reminded them that we had responsibilities on Wednesday night. Sometimes those choices cost us certain things. I can't tell you that everything will always turn out exactly the way you want it to. But I can tell you that God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. That the word is true. And that the odds are far greater by the end of life that they will have made the right choices and come back around to where they need to be than if we never challenge them to be all they should be. I remember debating things like clothes. I remember very distinctly Cody telling me that God did not give a rip what he wore to church. He was just concerned that he was there. And I said, that's okay, but I'm your father, and right now I'm directly responsible until you're going to wear what I want you to. I was raised with certain values that said when you go to church, you put on your best and offer your best to God. That was a value that I carried through life with me, that I carry to this day. I probably would not preach this sermon the least bit differently if I did not have this tie on. But I feel better and more professional presenting myself on Sunday morning to you this way than if I came in my cutoffs. I'd be more comfortable. But, you know, sometimes there's just some little rules along the way that we do to enhance the experience. They may not be heaven and hell issues. They're sometimes personal preferences, and we have to be careful about forcing our personal preferences on everybody else. But what I'm saying is there are some values that aren't up for debate. There's some things in the Word of God that we don't get to change. And we need to abide by and honor and teach our children. And we spend a lot of time preparing and training our kids to do things that will not have any eternal value whatsoever. And oftentimes we invest more in what's going to give them recognition here and give them entrance there. Just saying, be careful. The second institution on this earth is the church. We were given the responsibility in the Great Commission to make disciples. Doesn't give an age preference. Everyone that's alive and understands the difference between right and wrong has the opportunity to become a follower of Jesus Christ. When they become a follower, then we have responsibility for discipling them. But I remind you, as you get back from the Great Commission, to think about Jesus while he was here on this earth. Am I correct that Jesus is the head of the church? And am I correct that we are the body of Jesus Christ, the church? And Jesus said himself in Matthew chapter 18, in the first four verses, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. I think that means he didn't like it. He said to them, the disciples, his followers, the people who were doing what he was wanting to do, and they thought they were trying to please him, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. Two things there. Let them come. But secondly, on your shoulders, don't do anything that would hinder them from coming. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. When home does not handle its responsibility, the backup plan is for the church to love people and to train them. We have a responsibility. We've been admonished as a God-given institution to help young people come to know Christ and to know what to do about that relationship with Christ once they come into it. We have a tendency sometimes to work really hard at maybe trying to get people to Christ, and then we kind of leave them on their own after that. We know what they ought to do. We'll gripe about it when they don't do it, but how many of us have taken time to invest our lives in them so that they can learn? And what kind of example are we setting that they can follow? The Great Commission is to all ages, for all ages. And the essence of the commission is to make disciples. Make disciples. We've been challenged for several years in the church now with a couple of questions. Who's discipling you? In other words, who are you seeking to give you leadership and guides? And who are you discipling? The Great Commission. How many of you think you ought to do what Jesus says to do? Okay? So without hands now, hands are good then. No hands now. How many of you are doing what Jesus said? How many of you are actually discipling somebody? How do we do it? Let me read to you a passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. The New Testament church is happening. They preached the good news in the city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. They won them, and then they helped them to grow stronger and to stay true to the faith. That was their responsibility. They did it. How do we do that? There are three things, and this comes from what we were taught in the Sunday School Convention from a man named Greg Mason, as he compiled some things together, just some work he put together. So I want to very quickly just share this with you. But three areas that he touched that we need to do as we are discipling. Three main elements. First, interconnection. This comes about by relationship building. Loving our neighbor. Living the scripture. Evangelizing. Sharing life together. Bearing burdens. Do you know the people around you? Are you seizing opportunities as they come? Or are you creating opportunities to indeed share Christ with somebody who might not know him? Or are you pretty much just keeping to yourself? Instruction. Once we have a connection with these people, we have the opportunity to share the word, to share our faith, and to build up others. Are we building up others? Or do we spend most of our time griping, complaining, finding what's wrong with others? Are we building up the church family? Thank you. That's my brother. My real brother. My only brother. And he's with us today, and I'm glad he's here. And I understand now that he's just moved into a place with he and one other individual. And Shannon is going to be working on Sundays, and I think Shannon's going to bring Eddie to church every other Sunday or so. And so thank you, Shannon. I appreciate that a great deal. And Eddie, I love you. That's my big brother, my older brother. And that's right. And he loves Jesus, and I'm glad that he's here and loves Jesus. And he's like any other swearings, and he talks, and we all have opinions. But I'm glad Eddie is here. It's good to have him back. It's been a long time, so we're glad that he's with us and going to be with us maybe on a more regular basis. But there's also imitation, modeling the faith, doing things. Pastor Don's going on a mission trip. We're talking about ministry, Vacation Bible School, working and trying to invest ourselves in the children's community. Giving is an example of ministry. Stretching ourselves to be more like Jesus. What are our responses in difficult situations? And we need to make disciple makers. The only way we can do that is by being an example, coming alongside, taking someone with us. The admonition in Scripture was to seek first, this is Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. God wants devotion from us more than emotion. I'm not saying emotion is not a good thing. It's nice to feel good in a service. It's nice to be moved spiritually. But God's much more interested in our devotion than our emotion. He wants us to practice righteousness rather than religion. He needs us to exchange the desire for identification, for labels and recognition, to actually living out true imitation, which is being like Christ to our world. The scripture in our text said, if you train a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he'll not turn from it. If we take the responsibility to teach them while they're young and impressionable, they will never forget those things. They may get away from them for a little bit, but they will not forget them. And what they can remember gives them the light in the path to the way home. We're going to take communion this morning. What's that? Well, those are good passages, Eddie, and our mom and daddy taught those things to us, didn't they? All right. As we come to the communion table this morning, I want us to think about the commitment, not only to be an example before young eyes, but to really think about, is there really anybody out there that I'm helping to know Jesus better? And to think about a commitment to discipleship. Pastor Don, I'm going to ask you to come. Janet, thank you. And in just a moment, we'll ask you to stand, and we'll ask these two sections of pews to come this way and receive the elements, and these two sections of pews to come this way and receive the elements, and then hold the element until we're all able to take together at the same time. We're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to lay on our hearts someone who we might be able to help spiritually. We're also going to pray because as we come to the communion time, it's a time of introspection, a time for the Holy Spirit to evaluate where we're at in our walk with God, an opportunity for us to let Christ move us to where we need to be from where we are. And so, bow with me this morning and let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of sitting at your table, a table you've made for your disciples, a table you've made for those who have come to a saving knowledge of you. Lord, we thank you for these elements that are symbolic of your body and your blood, symbolic of the suffering that you went through in order to purchase our salvation. And Father, we indeed are grateful for that this morning. And Father, we thank you and just ask you that you would indeed speak to our hearts, show us where we're at and where you want us to be. And Lord, would you this morning, as we come to this time of commitment, would you just help us to think about who, if we're not being discipled by someone, to think about someone who we would look up to, and maybe we might spend a little time with that we could confide in and talk with about our struggles and our difficulties and about our victories. And then, Lord, think about others that we might be able to spend some time with and say, let me help you to understand the Word of God more. Let me spend some time. Let's spend some time in prayer together. Let's just talk together. And let's solidify our desire to follow Jesus as closely as possible. Speak to our hearts today, Lord. And Lord, we know that you died indeed to forgive us. You're not trying to keep us out of heaven. You're trying to bring us in. So, Father, you're not going to turn us away. You have great patience and great mercy. And so we confess our shortcomings, our struggles, and we ask you to strengthen us and help us to be overcomers by your Spirit that lives in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our desire is to be inclusive. The Church of the Nazarene does not only allow the members of the Church of the Nazarene to take communion. We believe communion is about the body of Christ. If you're here this morning and know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we encourage you to come and be a part this morning. So we're going to ask you to stand. We'll ask these two sections to come into this row and these two sections to come into this row and to receive the elements indeed this morning. What a privilege it is to sit together at the Lord's table, to observe the sacrifice that he made out of a heart of love with the desire for us to be able to spend eternity with he and his Father as his Father desired. May we be as yielded and as obedient in our walk. The body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was broken for you. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. The blood that was shed for us, the atonement for our sins, now flowing through our veins, making us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Take and drink and be joyful. It's going to be a great week. Children matter to God, and they matter to us. And we're going to do our very best to get the message to them as soon as possible that Jesus loves them and wants to be a part of their lives. May he help each of us. And as we cross paths with people this week, if we run across some folks or maybe who have some children that don't have a place to go, take time to invite them, even if it means telling them you'll pick them up and bring them. And indeed, we'll do our best to serve our community with the love of Jesus Christ. And all that he'll be glorified and honored in all that we do. Brother John Lewis, prayer, closing prayer for us, please.